Good morning. It must be 10 o'clock because the countdown's finished. Whoa. Oh, yeah, and you're also good. If you can make your way in from the foyer, come into the house of the Lord today. Welcome. Welcome. Good to see you all. It's lovely to be here today. Just wanted to share some sad news straight up about Carol Bellamy's mum, who passed away through the week. So we send our condolences to Carol and to Richard and the family. And knowing that she was a lady who loved the Lord and is now serving him in eternity. But we do send our thoughts and our feelings with you, Carol, this morning. But we should start with worship, we should start with prayer, we should start with acknowledging God is in this space. So I'm going to invite you to stand. I'm going to pray a prayer over you this morning. Now, this is a prayer written by Paul to his letter to Ephesians. It's up on the screen there behind me. And as I pray it over you, just focus on the words and focus on God's presence with you today. God of our Lord Jesus, the anointed Father of glory, I call out to you on behalf of your people. Give them minds ready to receive wisdom and revelation so they will truly know you. Open the eyes of their hearts and let the light of your truth flood in. Shine your light on the hope you are calling them to embrace. Reveal to them the glorious riches you are preparing as their inheritance. Let them see the full extent of your power that is at work in those of us who believe. And may it be done according to your might and power. Amen. Amen. Please stay standing as we sing our first song today, Open the Eyes of Our Heart, Lord.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you, I am lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, Holy, Holy. I want to see you. Holy, Holy, Holy. Holy, 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 I want to see you.
This is the first reading today is from 1 Chronicles chapter 20 verses 2 to 12. Messengers came and told Jehoshaphat, a vast army from Edom is marching against you from beyond the Dead Sea. They are already at Hazazon Tamar. This was another name for En-Gedi. Jehoshaphat was terrified by this news and begged the Lord for guidance. He also ordered everyone in Judah to begin fasting. So people from all the towns of Judah came to Jerusalem to seek the Lord's help. Jehoshaphat stood before the community of Judah and Jerusalem in front of the new courtyard at the temple of the Lord. He prayed, O Lord, God of our ancestors, you alone are the God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You are powerful and mighty. No one can stand against you. O our God, did you not drive out those who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and built this temple to honor your name. They said, whenever we are faced with any calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honored. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. And now see what the armies of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir are doing. You would not let our ancestors invade those nations when Israel left Egypt. So they went around them and did not destroy them. Now see how they reward us, for they have come to throw us out of your land, which you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, won't you stop them? We are powerless against this mighty army that is about to attack us. We do not know what to do, but we are looking for help.
The second half of that reading from 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 13 to 18 now, and reading from the New Living Translation. Verse 13, as all the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, wives and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. His name was Jahaziel, son of Zechariah, son of Benai, son of Jael, son of Mattaniah, a Levite who was a descendant of Asaph. He said, listen, all you people of Judah and Jerusalem, listen, King Jehoshaphat, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid, do not be discouraged by this mighty army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow, march out against them. You'll find them coming up through the ascent of Ziz at the end of the valley that opens into the wilderness of Jeruel. But you will not even need to fight. Take your positions, then stand still and watch the Lord's victory. He is with you, O people of Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go out against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you. Then King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground. And all the people of Judah and Jerusalem did the same, worshipping the Lord. Amen.
Thank you, James and Joy, for reading all those horrible words, all those big long names, all those pronunciations that are tricky. I was just saying at the back before we started, yesterday I went for a drive. It's been a beautiful weekend. I went for a drive. And I'm a pretty good navigator. But I got lost. And I'd already been saying to Tim in the morning, there are two types of drivers. There are those people who read a map, or they use their GPS, or they read the signs very well, and there are those people who just instinctively know exactly where they're going. And yesterday my phone had died, and I didn't have a map, and I instinctively knew exactly where I was going. So after I had headed off for half an hour in one direction and realised that Deborah was not on my way home, I turned around and it ended up being a 2-hour trip instead of under an hour. Anyway, all of us that drive or navigate, or those of you who try and find your way, sometimes get to this point where you say, I'm not sure where I am. Or maybe in life you get to the point where you say, I'm not sure what I'm doing. And that's what we're looking at today with King Jehoshaphat. He got to this point where he said, and the people all together, we don't know what to do. God, I'm not sure where I am. I'm not sure how to do this. But our eyes are on you. And that's the prayer of Jehoshaphat that we're going to look at today. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So I'm going to have a quick brief overview of King Jehoshaphat. I'm not a scholar, I'm not an historian, but there's some interesting things. So let's just set the scene a little with King Jehoshaphat. So his story can be found in 2 Chronicles, and our readings today were from chapter 20. But if you want to read all about Jehoshaphat and what happened before and after, chapter 17 to 20, that's your homework. Want some homework? What do we know about him? He was the fourth king of Judah, and he was a strong king. He was a king who got things done. He strengthened Judah to stand against any attack from Israel. And the Lord was with him because he followed the example of his father, King Asa, before him, and he didn't worship all the images of Baal. Now, we often see in these books, these historical books, things like he walked in the ways of the Lord, or he did evil in the sight of the Lord, and he was a good king, or he was a bad king. Well, King Jehoshaphat, or King Jay, he was one of the good guys. And he was a successful king. He enjoyed great riches. He was deeply committed to the ways of the Lord. He was a successful king. He enjoyed great riches and high esteem. He was well liked by his people. He decided to do a thing where he sent out teachers, Levites and priests, to go throughout the land. So he embarked on this education process. He wanted everyone to know how to follow God's ways. So they took copies of the book of the law of the Lord. They travelled through all the towns of Judah, teaching the people. He was an itinerant teacher, where his people were, teaching them to know God, to love God, and to follow in his ways. So that's a bit about the who of Jehoshaphat. And we read a little about the events, but I'm going to break some of these down today. The events of Jehoshaphat. So the people, Moabites, Ammonites, and Midianites, all we need to know is they were the enemies. They declared war. And not only did they declare war, but they were on the way. So Jehoshaphat was terrified. He was very afraid by that news. Now, we know that Jehoshaphat isn't called a cowardly king, even though he was terrified. But we also know he wasn't an arrogant king who said, oh, let them come. Come on, I'll take them on. In this instance, he was terrified by the news. And so his response to being terrified, which is a great response, he begged the Lord for guidance. And not only did he say, God, help, but he said to the people, I want you all to join with me in a fast. Be fasting and praying, because this is a dire situation. And they did. So people from all over the town of Judah came to Jerusalem and they worked together as a people to seek God's help. They fasted and they prayed. So in this time of fear, their response was a great one. They were frightened. What did they do? They came to the Lord. We could perhaps stop there. And that's the end of the sermon. The people were frightened. They were under attack. They turned to God. Fantastic. Let's all do that. But I want to look at what King Jehoshaphat did. What was his response? And I've got a few things that he prayed. So he prayed this, God, you are. And he started out with acknowledging God. God of our ancestors, you alone are God who is in heaven. You are the ruler of all the kingdoms of the earth. You're powerful, you're mighty. That's what we do when we praise God, when we give him glory. We say, God, you're awesome. You are the great God. If I said today, what could we say? God, you are. What are some of the things we'd shout out to God? God, you are. Tell me now. Magnificent. God, you are. Faithful. Awesome. Loving. Gracious.
All-knowing.
all-knowing, forgiving, great things God is. And that's what Jehoshaphat did to start. He started out by praising God. Secondly, he reminds himself, and he reminds all of the people, and reminds God, this is what you've done. God, you have done. Our God, didn't you drive out those people who lived in this land when your people Israel arrived? And did you not give this land forever to the descendants of your friend Abraham? Your people settled here and they built this temple. God, you have done great things for us. Now, I don't want you to call out, but can you think of something? God, you have done amazing things for me. You are waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper. God, you have done great things for me. The next thing he said was this. God, you promise us. So he claims what the promises of God are. He says, whenever we are faced with calamity, such as war, plague, or famine, we can come to stand in your presence before this temple where your name is honoured. We can cry out to you to save us, and you will hear us and rescue us. God, you promise that you will hear us and that you will rescue us. We can claim God's promises. Now, I want to just take a brief aside and tell you, on Tuesday night, we give out Bible verses at community dinner. Who has a Bible verse? Who's been to community dinner and has a Bible verse? Not necessarily on them, but you've been to community dinner, you've been given a Bible verse. Now, a few weeks ago, we gave out this verse, and it tells us, can I have that water, please? Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. That was our verse for the night. And so when we give out a verse, we have a little one-minute sermon. That's good, isn't it? 1 minute. And so I asked this night as I handed out the verse, what are you believing for? What are you believing for? To our people who were attending community dinner. Now, we've been working with a family, and this family were about to be evicted from their home. So a dire situation where mum and the kids were told that the landlord was coming back to live in his own house. Well, that's reasonable. I'm the landlord. I'm coming up here. I want to live in my house, so you need to find a new house. But there was no new house. And here's the mum saying, I don't know what's going to happen. I've put in housing applications. There are no rentals. I can't get emergency accommodation. I think I'm going to be on the streets. I can't afford to do this and I don't know. And as I said, what are you believing? She says, I'm believing for a house. Amen. I said, we're believing with you. We're believing for that house. Then within me, I thought, am I believing that this lady who we've been trying and fighting all these battles is actually going to get a house? And it challenged me. Do I believe that God is going to do that? So the next week we went to Harvey Bay. My mouth is dry, sorry. We went away on holidays, and on the Monday I had a message from Calvin. They've got a house. Praise God. And you know, I was so challenged by that, and other people at the dinner were saying, I'm believing for healing, I'm believing for relationships, I'm believing these things. And I said, yeah, so are we. Let's do that together, let's believe. But I was so challenged by saying, yes, we do. Do we claim those promises? God says, whatever you ask for in prayer, in my will and in my name, ask for it and believe and it will be yours. That's a great promise. Jehoshaphat said, God, you say we can come to you. I believe it, so do it for us. We claim that promise from you, God. The next thing he asks is, God, please help. He says, God, won't you stop them? We're powerless against this mighty army. It's about to attack us. And here's the crux, the whole thing of today. We do not know what to do, but we are looking to you for help. And that's Jehoshaphat's prayer. He says, God, we don't know what to do. I don't know where I am. I'm 30 minutes driving away from my place I've left and I have no idea where I am. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. So God, please help us. A few weeks ago, with this situation and many situations that we're hearing about here where people come in and say, I don't know where I'm going to be living tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have a job. It can become totally overwhelming. And so a few weeks ago, I found myself praying, God, I'm completely overwhelmed. I do not know what to do. And I found myself praying this prayer of Jehoshaphat. And I didn't know that that was prayed by Jehoshaphat. So I've looked it up and found out and said, great. So that's why you're hearing about Jehoshaphat today, because God led me to this prayer, because it was my prayer. God, I don't know what to do. It is a great prayer to pray. They prayed, that's great. What happened after they prayed? So we've kind of finished our story at what happens now where they've prayed. As all of the men of Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives and children, the Spirit of the Lord came upon one of the men standing there. And his name was Jahaziel. Another J name. Now, I don't know what stands out to you there, but to me, it is this. They stood there together with their wives, their children, their little ones. They were all together worshipping. And for us to be able to worship together as a family with people of all ages and coming from all places is a privilege. How important that is for us to be able to worship together, to be able to seek God, to be able to pray together, to be able to praise him. Now, Jahaziel, I looked him up. There's not a lot about Jahaziel. We do read about him later. He wasn't anything amazingly special, but what he was is he was there. He was found in that place and he was worshipping. And he made himself available and God's Spirit fell upon him. What he went on to say was this. Jahaziel says, it's like Simon says, but it's Jahaziel says. He says this, listen. Listen, everyone. Now, we can't hear God's direction if we're not listening. It's a very important first statement. Listen up. Hear what God is saying. This is what the Lord says. And here's another great verse. Do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Don't worry about this mighty army. Now, do you remember what King Jehoshaphat said to the people? The people are coming, the armies, and I am afraid. God's response through the voice of Jahaziel is, do not be afraid. Don't be discouraged. For the battle is not yours. Doesn't belong to you. The battle belongs to God. Sometimes God requires us to do a certain action, to go somewhere, to be active. But at other times, he doesn't want us to be the instrument for that battle. The battle is not yours, but God's. I'm sure you've heard that saying, choose your battles wisely, or pick your battles. Well, in this case, God says, well, this time I pick, and I'm choosing, I fight. And you don't have to. Here's an army, and God says, don't fight. Instead, he says this, tomorrow, march out against them. But you won't even need to fight. Take your positions, be there, be ready, but stand still and watch, because the Lord will have the victory today. He is with you, people of Judah and Jerusalem, so don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged. Go out against them. So go out there, be ready, have your armor on, be ready to go, but the Lord will go with you and you will not have to fight. I wonder how they responded to that, these trained soldiers who were told, yes, you're going to go out there, get all your gear on, but you don't have to fight. Now, some people here I know are people of action. And it's very hard to stand by and watch something else happen when you are a person who is driven to be very active. Is there anyone here? I've got to do it, got to do something, be constantly doing. These people, I don't know what their response was, but King Jehoshaphat, King J, responds to Jahaziel's word from the Spirit of God. And what does he do? What do the people do? The people praise. So there's a few instances here where the people praise, and we're going to look at that. King Jehoshaphat bowed low with his face to the ground, and all the people together did the same. They worshipped the Lord. Then the Levites from the clan stood up to praise the Lord, the God of Israel, with a very loud shout. I love it, a loud shout. They praised God before they had entered the battle. They praised God after Jehaziel had spoken to them and they hadn't won any victory, they hadn't even gone to battle. They praised him in advance for what was going to happen. God, I thank you that you've heard my prayer and that you're going to answer it. That is a thing of faith. That's the response we had when our friend said, I'm believing for a house. And we said, yes, we believe with you. Let's thank God for that house before it even happens. Then the people praised as they went out. So after consulting the people, the king appointed singers and he put them right at the front of the army. All right, the singers will put you at the front. I don't know how many people would have been putting their hand up to be singing that day, but they went praising him and Holy Spirit, and they sang, give thanks to the Lord, his love endures forever. They're familiar verses, aren't they? We hear those in the Psalms. We hear them when the Israelites left and they were in the Exodus time. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. And as they went, they kept on singing. And here's what happened. At the very moment they began to sing, and as they began to give praise, the Lord caused the armies of these places to start fighting amongst themselves. So this army, they didn't have to do anything. The other armies all attacked each other, and it says that when they arrived, the battle was done. All they saw were the slain. They didn't have to do a thing. But at the very moment they began to sing, God gave them the victory. Complete victory was theirs. Complete victory was God's. So they praised and the battle was won. Then afterwards they had to go and clean up and collect their plunder and whatever else they did. But on the fourth day, they gathered in the Valley of Blessing. And it was called the Valley of Blessing because they got there that day and they praised God. And they said, we are so blessed. So they called it the Valley of Blessing. So they praised God before it happened. They praised God as they went. They praised God afterwards. And then they returned to Jerusalem. All of the men went back. They went back praising God. And as they had started all together, the wives, the children, the little ones, all the people, they returned again to praise God and to thank him for this victory. How did it all work out in the end? King Jehoshaphat, his kingdom was at peace. For many years, God had given him rest on every side. Which is a great phrase, isn't it? Not just rest or a little bit of peace. He had given him peace on every side, all around him. God gave him rest. The land was at peace. They walked in the ways of the Lord. Nice story. Good lessons there. But what does it mean for you and for me today? So I want to ask you, do you feel like you're in a battle? Do you feel like you're under attack and the enemy is on the way, whatever it may be? Do you want to experience this rest on every side? That sounds great to me. Rest on every side. Well, Jesus says, click. Can you move that forward for me? I don't know, it's not. Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Come to me, seek me, ask me. Jesus wants to give us that what we are seeking. He wants to see us be victorious. He has already won the victory. When death was arrested, my life began. So what is your prayer? That was Jehoshaphat's prayer, Jehaziel's prayer. What is your prayer today? Maybe you are saying, God, you are, God, you have done, reminding God, God, you promised this. God, please help me. Or maybe your prayer is this, God, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Now, just as we give these verses out on Tuesday, we've made a little verse and it's this image. And so as you go today, I want to make sure you go out through either door and we're going to have, Kathy's got some verses and she'll find some friends. Please take one of those verses as a reminder. Put it wherever you'd like to have it to remind you. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Here's another prayer, and I want you to listen to the words here that express the words of a song that a songwriter says in this prayer. And we're going to finish with this song today, and it may be your prayer. Let me read you these words, and I'll ask the musicians to come, please. God, I look to you. I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. God, we do not know what to do. I say that so many times, and maybe you don't say that often. Or maybe you need to realize, actually, I'm not in control and I don't have it all together. I don't really know what I'm doing. But regardless, God, our eyes are on you. I'd invite you to just remain seated. Pray those prayers today. Have a look at those things and ask God, you know, which one of those things are you prompted to pray? There is a place of prayer, and if you'd like to pray today, you're welcome to come out and sing our last song. And we are going to sing about the great things. We're going to praise God and thank him for these great things together.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at his feet. He has done great things. See what our Savior has done. See how his love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. O God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. O God, you have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forevermore. You have done great things. And I know you will do it again. For your promise is yes and amen. You will do great things. God, you do great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. O God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. O God, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable. Hallelujah, you have done great things. You've done great things. O hero of heaven, you conquered the grave. You freed every captive and break every chain. O God, you have done great things. We dance in your freedom, awake and alive. O Jesus, our Savior, your name lifted high. O God, you have done great things. You have done great things. O God, you do great things.
Yes, God has done great things. And as we go out today, as I send you out today, I pray that we will remember the great things that God has done for us. And because he has done great things, we can go in confidence to face the days ahead, trusting in God's unfailing love and in his faithfulness. Because just like God said to Jehoshaphat, he is with us. He will not abandon us. We are his creation. We are his workmanship and his love
endures forever. So in peace that surrounds you on every side, and in joy, let us go out today to love and serve the Lord. Amen.